I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
Guys, we are in the studio again, second week in a row. Right?
Yeah.
Second week in a row. Last week we did a Deadpool and Wolverine preview. Really enjoyable. Shout out to the Small Critics podcast. Really, really cool guys, man. So
received really well, you know, that whole episode, like audio-wise, Insta, TikTok, mm-hmm. It done well. So.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shout out to Small Critics.
Yeah, man.
Supporters, I would say part of this sort of community we're trying to build, I guess. So it's really, really cool to have them on the pod. Hopefully we get the rest of the guys on at some point in the near future. Guys, how you feeling today? Big day. Hoshi, tell us, why is it a big day?
Well, guys, as of this recording, we would have just finished our first ever live show. So thank you to the 1,000 guests that we had.
the storm the place.
So yeah. Crazy that they had to shut the event down.
Looking like Baratheon's rebellion.
That's right. we've inspired, you know, companies like DLT, Recess.
Naturally.
Of course. But no, seriously, I'm going to assume that it's going to be a fantastic evening.
Because you're bricking it, I can
thank
tell.
Thank you to everyone. We love you all. But yeah, recording,
same
day as Post Credits Podcast live show.
All right. Yes, sir. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre. Shout out to Cobanza in the building every single time. How are you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling okay. Drank quite a bit yesterday, went karaoke with a few of my friends.
Come on.
Something that we've been planning to do for like 9 years. So we finally got to do karaoke together. Got very drunk. 30 this morning, but
good time.
Here I am drinking as much water as I can before I drink some more.
Before getting back to the drink later, fair enough.
Yeah,
today's
gonna be my last day of drinking until the end of next month. So
okay, not bad.
Nice little detox. I hear it.
Yeah,
necessary sometimes for sure. I like the mindset of yourself there. And Jason,
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm ready to pod. I'm excited for. Jeez. The live show, man.
You're nervous though.
Like I'm nervous, but like full of excitement as well. I'm not gonna lie. I'm ready.
People finally get to meet the favorite part timer as well.
Exactly. Exactly that. People's part timer. Go.
Shout out to Bisola.
I think this is gonna be the most sober episode we've done in quite some time, which is good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No popcorn eating as well, which would be good.
Yeah.
Was it Ola that brought it up to me the other day? I think he said, "Oh, I could hear Basola chopping." On
yeah, it's the same to me.
All right, look, shout out to Proper though, because
the popcorn's gone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're finished.
Proper corn done a proper job.
Please send us some more. But anyway,
they are sending more.
Now, before we get into our review for Deadpool and Wolverine, one of the most anticipated films of the year, it wouldn't be right for us to do this podcast as lovers of film and TV and theatre and just fandom as a whole if we didn't talk about the events of the past few hours. Marvel's panel for San Diego Comic-Con was a few hours ago, as I mentioned. And the biggest news that came from that was that the Avengers films have been revealed as Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars. The bigger news in that is that Robert Downey Jr. will return to play Doctor Doom. Hossam, immediate reaction. You are the consequential Marvel fan, lover, know-it-all, of most things anyway, at least.
Yeah.
Give us your immediate reaction.
Boner.
Okay, now give us your proper immediate reaction. That could go out in public.
I was doing my reaction. Honestly, I like breathtaking.
Why?
Breathtaking. Do you know, like, I obviously watched it on some illegal stream.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie to you guys.
For legal purposes, we didn't.
Yeah. It's been a very busy few days. I forgot it was on. I was watching something else completely. And then, I'm in the Marvel forum chats. I just got bare. Beep, 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 nice. And I was like, what's going on? And I just checked it. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I think I jumped on towards, like, the mid-end. But I'm telling you now, man, like, I did obviously think of a few people that were going to do it. At a point, I heard people in the chat talking that it could be Benedict Cumberbatch as a variant of himself, you know, in Doctor Strange and that kind of stuff. And apparently that was something that was, like, explored. Mm-hmm. But I'm so happy that it is RDJ. I'm so happy that he's back. I'm so happy that he's back on his terms. I'm so happy that he's back with the Russo brothers. I'm so happy that he's back with...
Just to dabble into your point about his terms, it's an interesting thing of...
He got to pick.
I think we've spoken about Robert Downey Jr. wanting his true accolades for his acting ability beyond being in the Marvel films. Not that it was the Marvel films' fault, per se, but being in a cinematic universe that's a comic books universe, if you like, seems to have its sort of seem to detract from people's thoughts on him as an actor. And I think doing the likes of Oppenheimer...
Unintended consequences.
Yeah. And I think doing the likes of Oppenheimer, winning the Academy Award, has definitely given him probably like more license to go back to do what he...
He's done like 5 films, by the way, yeah. And they've all done really well. As like an acting grade for him, they've all done really well. And most of them are dramatic roles, right?
Right.
And like for me, it was... His acting choice, and we spoke about this like maybe like season one. Like he's actually done films, but like back in the day where he was cold.
Right.
Yeah. He was very very cold in them. Do you know what I'm saying? So like this wasn't a thing of like can he act? It was more a thing of like a reminder of what he can do outside of this obviously the superhero space. You know, but for him to go do those films, especially with Oppenheimer being like the success that it actually was, and it's just a reminder of yo, give me a role I can pattern it. If I come back to this the superhero thing, it's by choice. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not because I have to or because my career is on a downward trajectory. I'm so glad he's coming back here on a high because it tells people that he's doing this because he loves it. He's not doing it because he has to and needs a piece. You know what I mean?
He's breaded.
But even for like career critiques, you know what I'm saying? He's not doing it for that. You know what I mean? And the character they've picked to give him, I was saying earlier off camera, the paradox that the Avengers now have to go through, obviously assuming that they are aware that this is a Tony variant, right? And he has no memories of Tony, no whatever. Cool, like. The paradox that like Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, all these people will have to fight this guy that looks exactly like the person they worship for years. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing. And then Victor Von Doom, as a character in the comics, is tapped, bro. And we haven't seen it in the live action at all. What
scary
guy. We've got two versions, right? Of Victor Von Doom,
right?
Yeah.
The first film.
We haven't seen him. In the tap version that he is in the comics, like he's so tapped, bro. He gets literally banished into the multiverse.
One shot Thanos as well.
Yeah,
one shot.
Yeah,
bro, I didn't read that comic.
He punched Thanos once, yeah, through his chest, yeah, at feet.
Him.
Yeah, like he goes through the multiverse because obviously in real life his whole thing is being like the smartest person. Blah, 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 you know, that's why he beefed Mr. Fantastic. You know what I'm saying? And blah, blah, blah. But like him going away, I mean, what he done instead of trying to get back to Earth. He just learned about the multiverse, about time and space. Mm-hmm. He becomes this threatening, really kind of psychotic but calm being. Robert Downey's gonna kill that role. Sorry guys, to go on that.
No, it's all good. I'll fly through the rest of the news. The Russo brothers will return to direct both.
It's perfect.
The Avengers films and the Fantastic Four will appear in both films. The films Avengers Doomsday will release in May 2026, and Avengers Secret Wars will release in May 2027.
£20.
He was delayed.
It'll be pushback for sure.
We'll see for sure. Kevin Feige says that Captain America Brave New World is a return to the grounded aspects of the Winter Soldier. I saw the trailer. Trailer's good, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I fuck with trailer.
Yeah, it's a good trailer. And I like the idea of just going back to sort of the Winter Soldier vibes. Even if you're not trying to replicate that, grounded story, very like spy espionage, love it. I'm there for
more
it.
Realistic fight scenes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Hopefully.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
apparently Stephen McFeely will be writing Avengers Doomsday and Secret Wars. He co-wrote Endgame and Infinity War. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes as well, back to the Secret War story. Giancarlo Esposito will start as Sidewinder, the King of the Serpent Society, in Captain America Brave New World. Any feelings about Giancarlo?
Is that confirmed, yeah? Just there.
Yeah.
No, he's a fantastic actor.
He's Sidewinder.
Like, yeah.
That's cold.
Yeah. I mean, I know he wanted Charles Xavier, which would have been cool as well. But
that's cold, though. That is actually cold, because that means that he won't die.
Is that factual? Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a massive character in Deadpool.
Okay, cool.
As in massive, so as in he beefs. No, not beefs. He beefs and then teams up with Punisher. It's a big thing.
Punisher's my guy, man.
So it's a. I think they've introduced him for that arc.
John Bernthal. Hey, if they bring anyway.
Him.
If they
him,
bring him back, him, if they bring him back, it's bro, raps. Man.
I thought it was confirmed.
John Bernthal. He's back in Daredevil.
Oh yeah, cool.
Peak.
Cool, yeah.
Hey, Secret Wars could be a mad thing. Could be a mad thing.
But could be a mad thing.
Let's fly through these because I know we've got an episode to do today. Sorry. Harrison Ford said that about joining the MCU. He's proud to become a member of the Marvel Universe. I've been watching the fantastic actors having a good time, and I wanted a piece of that. Really, really happy to see Harrison Ford.
He's playing General. Ross.
Ross.
Yeah. As in, because obviously the real actor passed away.
Passed away.
Okay.
He's Thunderbolt Ross. Yeah.
Which is mad.
The last bits of news, Adamantium will be introduced into the MCU with Celestials being made out of them. Sebastian Stan says that Florence Pugh is the standout actor of Thunderbolts. Sorry.
So that means that Brave New World, we know the plot then?
I don't know the plot.
Because from the...
You do, I don't.
From the trailer, there was a Celestial being that was in the Eternals, the big hand thing.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Right? And there was a tease that there was going to be, what do you say, adamantium in there, which now means that that's what the political beef is about. It's about the sourcing of that.
I mean, we'll see. I'd rather not know that.
But if it is that, I would rather that, because that's such a political, like true to life now type thing where there's like a source or stuff that everyone's for
fighting. Gold, or gold, diamond,
or oil. But you know what I'm saying? That's sick. Like, yeah, okay. That's sick.
Sebastian Stan says that Florence Pugh was the standout actor, in the Thunderbolts, which comes as no surprise whatsoever. It's Florence Pugh, bro.
Yeah. No, it's Florence Pugh, but like she, I'm not shocked, yeah, but because of like
her character,
character is so hard. Listen, her character in Black Widow was dope, but I think it was like reserved to a point.
She was really good in
Hawkeye's good thing,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah. So her character in that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Was fantastic.
Last bit, Matt Shackman, who is the director of the Fantastic Four, says that they went to the desert to find the best type of rock to make the thing out of. Ebon Moss Backrack will be playing the thing. Really excited to see that. And last bits, Michael Giacchino, will compose the score of Fantastic Four. He did the Batman. And Fantastic Four is titled The Fantastic Four First Steps in theaters. July 25th.
First Steps.
25. Yeah.
Do you think it's gonna be an origin?
Yeah, it
July
is.
2025.
Yeah.
Okay.
An origin film.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I fuck with that.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, we just seen it three times now.
Well, it's set in the 60s. All I know is it's set in the 60s, sort of a
set in the 60s.
Retro futuristic.
Oh no, obviously, yeah. We do that. Okay, cool.
Any of the bits of the news that excited you guys before we get into our main focus of the episode?
The Esposito one. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that one coming at all.
Yeah, for sure.
That fantastic season.
He's been saying publicly for years
that he's been wanting to be part of the MCU
for time.
So it's good that they kind of like...
Keanu Reeves?
Nothing on Keanu.
He was there yesterday.
Why was it?
He was there yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Smiling and shit. But, basically, the stream that I watch, okay, you can only watch what the US people can watch. Mm. I don't know if you know how it works here, but to watch like Comic Con, the whole 4 hours of it, yeah, you actually have to be there. It's a whole like exclusive thing, right?
Yeah.
So on TV, if you're there, what you can watch is like an hour and a half. You can't actually watch the whole 4 hours.
Panel,
you know what I'm saying? So Keanu Reeves. So there's pictures that came out and he was on stage. So I don't know what that means, bro. But
interesting.
But he was definitely on stage with Florence Pugh. So maybe it has something to do with the Thunderbolt.
Yeah, there was also news on the Penguin. There was they did a House of the Dragon season 2 episode 7 screening. It was well received by audiences. So yeah, let's see how the next couple of weeks, months, and years ahead pan out.
By the way, that is a bucket list thing for us for sure as a podcast. Sorry,
oh Sandy.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, one day, innit?
Bro, that'd be crazy, man.
Guys, Deadpool and Wolverine, one of the most anticipated films of the year. Oops, speaker's died.
Oh, I thought that was
something like Jason's stomach. Oh.
Yeah. Wow. Every week I can hear your stomach.
Hey, I'm hungry.
We've kind of did a preview last week, and we sort of touched upon the impact of the sort of Fox X-Men films, including Deadpool and Wolverine, including the individual Logan films. Or the Wolverine films. Jason, what did those, because you weren't here last week, as a sort of lover of the fandom, what did those films mean to you? Which were your favourite films? Give us like a quick dive into that before we get into the main focus of the episode.
Alright, I'll quickly just off the bat say like X-Men Days of Future Past, I think is my favourite.
Incredible film.
X-Men,
really
like
good film.
Dope film.
A lot.
Dope film.
But do you know what? I was supposed to be in there for the episode, but planning wise, I wasn't there. So I did a rewatch of X-Men 2.
Oh, good film.
3.
Oof, not so
good. Obviously.
It's all right, it's all right.
Three.
Finalized.
Compared to 2? Come on.
Two I think, though. is fucking amazing.
2 is the pinnacle of that trilogy. Oh,
yeah, sure. Exactly. Oh, for sure. 3, Days of Future Past, of course. And then the... I forgot the name. It's the X-Men Origin one, but the one
First
where he
class?
Goes to... No, not X-Men Origin, sorry. Wolverine.
The Wolverine when he's in Japan?
Japan, yeah. Which I think is underrated.
Good film.
I think is underrated. Yeah. But like, do you know what? Like, and this will tie into the Deadpool episode that we're gonna do. Like Hugh Jackman, the way, well, a lot of those people actually, like
so Ian McKellen, Sir Patrick Stewart.
Even
James McAvoy, Michael James Fassbender McAvoy
and whatnot. Like all these iconic characters, the way that they were able to make them their own. When you think about those actors, you can tie them to those characters. And it's, that's especially true with Hugh Jackman. I think, like, especially when you see him, like, how if there's a comic book accurate Wolverine, and then Hugh Jackman obviously being the exact opposite of that, like being like 6'4" and still the way he was able to make that character his own, and you can see it through kind of like the years. It's like he needs to get more plaudits on that, on the same level as we give kind of like RDJ as Tony Stark.
I have them at the same level personally, if not
I wouldn't for Ryan Reynolds in there as Deadpool.
Okay,
do you know what, I think that's his own category, because it genuinely feels like the existence of Ryan Reynolds feels like it should be Deadpool.
It's insane
But like, yeah, they're just like the way they're just able to make these their own, it's and then like just rewatching all of that, I was just like, wow, like Hugh Jackman, I'm actually not able to think of any other Wolverine. It'll be very interesting.
The film tries to give us maybe a couple of jokes and a couple of hints to possibilities. We'll get into that.
Possibilities.
I'll give a quick premise and then I'll get your first like immediate reactions of the film from everyone. So in the film, the Time Variance Authority, otherwise known as the TVA, who we've met in both seasons of Loki, pull Deadpool from his quiet life and set him on a mission with Wolverine that will have ramifications on the history, past history, and possibly the future of the MCU. Manny, first thoughts on Deadpool and Wolverine. How did you find the film? Give us a quick spill on how you felt.
Probably the funniest MCU film that I've watched. I laughed a lot. I enjoyed it.
So fun.
It was a great time. It did give me more thoughts in terms of how I feel about the MCU as a whole. But I guess we can get into that in a bit.
First 40 minutes had me on the floor, bruv. Like, first 40 minutes, it was just outstanding cinema. I didn't even know if it was like cinema or just pure comedy, and still kind of sticking to like the storyline well enough, you know what I'm saying? And then the remaining of the film, which we'll get onto, was obviously more like plot based and that kind of stuff. That's where like kind of like we can really judge the MCU one. But the first 40 was like Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2 just mixed together, just with obviously the upgrade of everything else. Yeah, no, honestly, like it was such a great start to a film. It was fantastic.
What was your favorite part of the start? What was your favorite?
First, the opening sequence is crazy, though.
Yeah,
but, bye.
But darts, yeah, man.
The sword throw?
Yeah.
Oh, that was crazy. And then, what'd you call it? Obviously, the finding of the Wolverine's montage. Fucking hilarious. Yeah. That was good.
That was so good.
I'll say.
So even the small version, the 5'6" version of Wolverine.
That was hilarious. My favorite part of the year was probably the, Chris Evans.
Okay, well, yeah, save it.
Yeah,
we'll save it.
But that's probably my favorite part. It's just hilarious. But yeah, man, it's great.
Jace?
Nah, immediate reactions. I loved it. Like, kind of like as Manny said, like it was like a great fun. It was absolutely hilarious. Opening sequence was so good. Even when we went through the variants of Wolverine as well, and we're probably gonna get into it in a minute, but like there's one fan casting that a lot of people gave to a certain
And
then I was just like, I wasn't surprised that they put him in there, because I think they teased it a little bit. But like when I did see it actually into fruition, I was just like, oh, do you know what? That's actually a really good pick. But at the same time, it's just like, it's going to be hard to follow after Hugh Jackman, because like by the end of the film, man, like this is the quintessential like Wolverine. I don't think there can be,
even if he's 6'2" or so, it still
doesn't matter.
If anything, it kind of makes a lot more sense after seeing the 5'6" scene.
Exactly. Yep. But nah, it was good. What do you think?
Had fun. Yep. Enjoyed it. I think the first hour or so, I was locked. I was just like literally locked in, smiling at my screen sort of thing. So it was so much fun. I think the film has weaknesses for sure, which we'll get into, and I think as we wouldn't be right to talk about film and this particular film if we weren't to raise some of our issues, but as just a foundational how I felt in the cinema, had so much fun. It was so much fun to see Hugh, which we'll definitely get into, because he deserves so much props. the film has Ryan Reynolds' fingertips and hands all over it in every essence. Which in one aspect, Jace, you have issues, my brother.
Yeah. Like, the fact that we spoke about it earlier.
Which in one instance is great. It does also create some issues for me in the film, the whole Ryan Reynolds of it all. But overall, had a lot of fun with the film. Course, quickly for me, give me how you feel about this film in comparison to the previous Deadpool films. And do you think that this film carried over the heart and the essence and the DNA of those previous Deadpool films? Or do you feel as though there's a middle ground, or do you feel as though it's got its MCU touch? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Where do you stand on that?
I think the first Deadpool film has the most storyline, right? It has the most kind of, like, obviously it's an origin story. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, we only actually see Deadpool being Deadpool like halfway through the film, really and truly.
Right.
You know what I mean? But because of that, you get a better story.
I think what you get in that film is him flickering between his past and his present.
Exactly.
Parts he's Deadpool, parts he's Wade.
Exactly.
But the insight into Wade and who he is and what's inspired him to be who he is with his love for Vanessa and so on.
Yeah.
The heart of the story.
So, right? which is so good. And I think that's why one's better than two, in a sense where, like, it was hilarious, right? But it was embodied in his fantastic, like, storyline. Two was I think in the basis of comedy, I think it was funnier, but I just don't think it had much storyline.
I think it was more of an action film.
Oh, facts. And three is, every film just feels different. It feels so different.
Right.
And three now, I'm so glad that Kevin Feige just said, all right, cool, do you, man. Okay,
so you feel as though it doesn't have necessarily the sort of MCU touch or feel?
It's funnier. It's actually funnier now. It has the MCU touch and feel because obviously of all the cameos, all of the access that he has. The budget's obviously bigger. Like, you can tell by the sets and by everything that they're doing. The amount of times they switched sceneries and stuff. Okay, so like everything feels bigger and also it's great. But Reynolds didn't sit on that and think, I have to make this deep cinematic masterpiece. He sat on that and said, well, I'm gonna do what I've done twice. Just do it with
bigger
a
and better.
Yeah. And I truly believe he did. So if we're talking about the MCU touch, okay, I think he used the MCU in the way that we all hoped and imagined he would use the MCU when it comes to the comedy aspect of the film.
Okay.
The first film, he was shitting on what's it, Green
Lantern
for the whole film, right? Second film, he was shitting on Wolverine and the X-Men for the whole film.
Yeah.
Right? And then this film, he was like, I have the whole MCU to cuss out. Yeah, calm. You know what I mean? Like, it was fantastic, man. Honestly,
and do you
fantastic.
Think, Jason, do you think that worked in terms of the sort of meta humor, the meta commentary, the fourth wall breaking, which was probably at its most at its peak in comparison to the previous film?
Of course.
Film.
Yeah.
Especially for the half hour.
For sure.
Do you think this sort of indulgence of we're going to criticize ourselves for our previous misdemeanors and our previous failures works for you? Do you think it's a nice touch?
I think it absolutely worked, because one of the things is that we've been criticizing for the MCU for a while that, like,
After Endgame,
the phase has been falling off, and like with certain fandoms within kind of like the MCU, like, it's reached a certain boiling point. And I do think that this needed to be addressed, and I think using Deadpool as a gateway to address that was probably the perfect way for me. Like, you know, you can acknowledge where you've kind of like fucked up, which is what they did,
okay,
and then kind of like build on it by going forward and stuff like that. So it did give me kind of like a sense of hope of being like,
there's also like pockets. There was pockets of where he had to be deep or he had to be serious.
Who's
that kind
he?
Of stuff. Deadpool, sorry.
Okay.
And like, and with those small pockets, which I think they were deeper than the first and second one, with those small pockets here, you see how he can fit into the MCU wide story. Like, you can see how he would fit into an Avengers film. You can see how he would fit into a Doctor Strange film. Where
Strange would absolutely hate him.
It'll be fantastic. Okay? But like,
Strange would be absolutely, he'd lose his mind.
Yeah. And like, I saw an interview with Ryan Reynolds, okay, and he was like, they asked him, like, if you were to be in those films and blah, 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 how would Deadpool be managed? And he said, it's not through the comedy, it's not through like us cussing them out, okay, it's through screen time, right? He's like, if you give Deadpool too much screen time, he'll take over the whole film, even if it's an Avengers film. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's just about the timing of the director and the script, okay, and when you put him in and when you give him that screen time, because if the camera's on and then calm, then cool, like, do your thing. Like, if you think about him in an Infinity Wars setting, how they had to split people up into three groups, right? Okay, we had a group in Wakanda that were beefing everyone. We had the group with Thor that were, you know, getting the hammer. And then we had a group with Tony that were in space. So, like, he would have been perfect in that setup because he's not involved in the whole wider story. He's involved in one part of a massive story. You know what I mean? That's where he would thrive. Whereas if you put him into like an Avengers 1 film, it'd be long. Mm-hmm. He would take it over completely.
even in that aspect, if he was in Infinite War, even his time has to be limited. Because I feel like when he's on the screen, like you said, like he'll take over. Like he's too much of a focus.
He took over in this film.
He's not the type of character that he can have on the screen and just be there for the sake of just being
there.
So even if he was in Infinity War, I feel like this time has to be a lot more limited because I feel like it'll be too much of Deadpool rather than anything else.
Especially for such a somber film, which Infinity War was. It had light-hearted moments, but it's quite a somber film in terms of the particular moments that characters were going through, trying to navigate their sort of struggle. So yeah, I think it would have to be limited for sure.
You would have had to get bleeped at the end because if you didn't, you would have to make a joke.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You'd be making a joke and get bleeped.
Yeah. And that would have been fine.
But I think that would have been a good way to send him off. But he couldn't
stay alive at the end of it because he would have to make a joke, and that would make me so uncomfortable.
Bro, so if Toby can find this, somebody made a fight at it of what Deadpool would have been like in the final fight of Endgame. Yeah, and bro, it was so funny. It was they basically put his face over Black Panther.
That's pure black question. That's crazy.
But it was because
it was a white man that made it as well, wasn't it?
Of course.
Yeah.
Black Panther like bounced through Bear Man. Yeah. It was just him just making bear jokes. Every time he killed someone, was like, oopsie daisy, who did it? You know what I'm saying?
He would have
freaking hilarious. I mean, he was saying stuff like, oh my god, it's a Thor. Oh my god, it's thingy. You know what I'm saying? It was freaking hilarious, like, but again, like, the guy did the fact to be like, this is how he'll fit into it. You know what I mean? It's these little pockets and little bits. If there's a lot going on, you can fit him into like a 30-second thing here, and then shift away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's talk about Hugh Jackman. I think we've done a Ryan Reynolds segment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone got any critiques with Ryan Reynolds in the film as Deadpool?
No, not per se, to be fair.
I think my only issue with the film is that at times I feel as though it just became ever so slightly exhausting in terms of some of the humour. I feel like at times, like we said, it kind of took over the film. Not to a point where I didn't enjoy myself as a whole, but I did find it at times, I was like, ugh.
No, I think I think that's what comes with it, though. I think this was kind of like also handled well because like the characters within the film felt those exact same frustrations.
That's a good point.
So I didn't mind it too much because I was like, okay, cool. It's almost like the characters are...
We're in this together.
Yeah, we're in this together. Like they're just as frustrated as us. And I feel like this was very much intentional. Like he is called the Merc.
Jumba Casanova where she was like, vroom.
Casanova?
Sandra.
I know.
And then also, Sandra Nova.
Yeah. Sandra Nova.
And then also, she was like, boom, right? And then she's talking to Hugh, and she's like, look at that. Silence.
Yeah.
Isn't it great? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's hilarious.
Yeah. Thoughts on the return of one of my goats. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. It was so good to see him back on screen. I think the relationship with him and Deadpool
perfect
makes a lot of sense. You can see there's a clear bond and relationship between Jackman and Reynolds, which translates onto their scenes on screen. I think Hugh Jackman does a great job in grounding the film, in terms of where Reynolds as Deadpool is so grand in one sense. Jackman really brings a sort of somber stoic feel, which I think was necessary to sort of counter the Deadpool.
Yeah, had to be.
But he also brings like obviously his own emotional trauma in the sense of a character that we haven't seen before. We haven't seen this Wolverine be down bad like that. We've seen Wolverine down bad in the sense of, I don't know, alcohol, for example. Like, yeah. He's been a part of his sort of character.
Exactly.
But the fact that he's let down his people is like, that's the first time I've seen that for this character, which I think brings a fresh take. And I think it's good that they didn't sort of... Obviously, they made a joke about Logan. Yeah. But they didn't step on that Logan story because the Logan story is special and it's a great ending to a character. But I want to know, maybe Manny, you can talk to me about your thoughts on Hugh Jackman. I know he's in one of your favourite films of all time as well.
Yeah, yeah.
In the past. So just talk to me about your thoughts on Jackman as an actor and then maybe how he impacted this film.
He's a brilliant actor, like really good. He's definitely a theatrical actor as well. I know
that's how he got into the X-Men.
Yeah, I know he does quite a lot of theatre and you can tell by the way that he acts in different roles. Have you seen him in any of the X-Men films? Seen him in The Prestige? Seen him in
The Great Showman?
Prisoners.
The Great Showman, yeah. And just film in general, like
Prisoners, oh my
Prisoners. Yeah. I was gonna bring that up eventually because I rewatched that for some reason during the kind of like the X-Men rewatch Prisoners, and I watched it for the first time that time and I was just like, this guy's fucking cool,
even
man.
Back on your point with Robert Downey Jr. in terms of him working in the MCU for so long, so sometimes people forget how serious of an actor it is, and I feel like Hugh Jackman kind of has that a little bit as well in terms of because he's been in X-Men so much, and when you think about Hugh Jackman, a lot of people do think about X-Men or think about Wolverine specifically. That people tend to forget like how amazing he's been at his role. Like I never really hear people talk about him being one of the greatest actors that they've come across. He is one of my favorite actors ever.
I think
and for him to get this film, and I've complained quite a lot in terms of like keep reusing actors or not reusing actors, reusing characters, like it does get boring, it does get like feels like a money grab sometimes. But I do appreciate the fact that Hugh Jackman got this film like a lot, and he deserves it. And I'll be fine if we don't get another Wolverine with Hugh Jackman in it, but I'll also be happy to see him
till he's fucking 90, baby.
Till he's fucking 90.
The constant joke and even potentially seeing Old Man Logan, like I'm with it. And that's more so to do with how I feel about Hugh Jackman as an actor and the way that he just like whatever he's on screen, he just does such a great job. So I'm happy that I got to see him in this film.
You know what I think is really special, and I'll let Hussein, maybe Jason go after, is that for someone who's such a prestigious actor in my eyes and someone who's so talented, it's so cool that he doesn't see himself as beyond doing a comic book film or a comic book character. And I understand some people will have gripes about superhero films and the superhero sort of world as it is, and I get that, and I think everyone's entitled to their opinions and I don't disagree in a sense, but I think it's really cool that someone of his ability can still do and care and embody a character that he's played for 24 years. I think that's so, so cool, and you can see the sort of growth in not just his acting but also in his portrayal of Wolverine and the different portrayals that he's had to offer across the years. I think it's really cool, man. But yeah, over to you guys, man.
I'll go. Love him.
Any favorite parts from the film with him?
Well, the distinction, you know how it reminded me of like Logan in X-Men 1 when he was with like Rogue, like at the start where he was like, just leave me alone. You know what I mean? And it's the perfect mixture because Deadpool doesn't want to leave him alone, whereas he's like, he's like, oh, God damn it! Like, I think it's like it's perfect that he also can't kill Deadpool. Okay, it's perfect. Like up until a point where he was like, I'll chop your head off. And then Deadpool's like, it will grow back again. Like, do you know what I mean? But he just like, it's long, you know, like it just that whole thing where it's someone he actually can't get rid of.
He always seems to have these characters throughout his time that like, you know, he has
that
enough
like attract to him and like are kind of like glued to him.
You've got, you know, Rogue, I mean? You've got Charles Xavier and Logan, who's that sort of
Mariko.
End. Mariko, yeah. You've got X-23, which is probably the most poignant one out of all of them.
Of course, even thinking, bro, Mariko, when you deep it, he found her annoying for the first half of the film, bro. You know what I mean? And then he's like, all right, cool, she's kind of cool.
Kind of lame.
Yeah. But yeah, bro, he put on a fantastic performance. And you know, this is gonna sound so weird, right? Okay. Like, even though like he done Logan and then it was like, wow, what an end. Okay, you can't ruin the end. It was great. Whatever. All that.
Unbelievable.
Him coming back and doing a different version of Free Wolverine, he done it so good, that I didn't even think about Logan once. Like, I didn't even think, oh no, he's stepping on legacy. No. I was generally watching that as if it was a new version of Wolverine. And that's obviously because he's a fantastic actor. He didn't play him the same. What I'm saying? Like he played a very different type of Wolverine, which I love. Even at the end when he was at the dinner and stuff, he was different. He was different as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was
that's been sort of seeking family, if you like.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't seen that yet. You know what I'm saying? We've seen it in a sense where they mention Xavier, which I loved, they mentioned how he's always, when he was at the X-Men, he was always acting like he didn't want to be there. Do you know what I'm saying? He was always acting like he didn't want to wear the suit. That's in all of the X-Men films, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's true. So in this one, at the end, he was like, fuck the acting. Like, I want to be part of his family.
Yeah, I wanted, you know, like, what I'm saying? It's kind of like nice to see him finally
embrace everyone
embrace
else around him.
Himself and embrace everyone around him. Yeah,
it's beautiful because now we have a completely different version of him, and every emotion that we've seen of him, and it's
I can tell you had a really good time.
Honestly, yeah, man. Nah. Honestly.
Again, I think that goes to how well Hugh Jackman of an actor is, and I feel like there was clearly two different bases in terms of what each Logan had. I feel like the Logan that we saw in Logan was seeking an end, like he was seeking, like, to finish. But this one, without even realizing, he was seeking family.
He was even
seeking forgiveness, not only in other people in the world that he lived in, but also forgiveness within himself. And it took him quite a while. I think it was only until after he had the conversation with X-23 where finally kind of clicked to him that I need to let this go.
And there's even a bit with a Paradox at the end where Deadpool's like, all right, cool, can we, like, no, so not a Paradox, the black lady.
Oh yeah, from the TVA.
TVA, and they say, "Yo, can we go back in time and bring back his three people?" And then she was like, "Well, no, everything that he's gone through has made him the person that he's right now." You know what I'm saying? And that's we forget that superhero films and comic books and all that were actually made in the 40s and 20s or whatever it is to come out of, like, war. Like, people were in war and stuff. Like, it was to be imaginative, right? And to give, like, real life examples of heroes that seem unrealistic, but you can dream about and you can do that. So, and then when we got into the 2000s, there was 2012, you had all these superhero films, okay, that literally, like Spider-Man, Superman, blah, 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 that at the end of it was like a happy ending, like, oh, there's a lattice in here, okay, oh, with great power comes blah blah blah. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, there's all these things, okay, like it had like a meaning to it. The MCU kind of lost that for a while. Do you know what I'm saying? And then every time they tried to do it, like Thor, the late Thor, we tried to make it about, like, the whole family thing, it was off. You know what I'm saying? But like I'm so glad that this had a message, even amongst the chaoticness, which was the comedy and everything. It felt like a super film to me.
Right, perfect, well said. Jason, I want to know your thoughts on Emma Corrin. They played Cassandra Nova. She's also in The Crown. I forgot where she's. They've been in. Sorry, but you go.
Do you know what? I think acting wise, she was absolutely
really
brilliant.
Good.
Really menacing. Brilliant. Very menacing.
They were great. Sorry, I could the same say. Like, they were great. My bad.
They were absolutely fantastic. I do think, though, I feel like, and this is, I guess, where if we can get into weaknesses, I feel like she was written in quite poorly.
Do we say she? If we're talking about the character, from now on, are we talking about the character?
Cassandra Nova, the character. So she was written in quite poorly.
It makes it easier for yourself.
Yeah.
Go on, Jason.
No, but like, I do think that as the character herself,
was weak,
like,
for her.
Very weak. It felt hell. Like, yeah.
Sorry, guys.
No,
sorry for this horrible audio experience. We are trying
for them, not for her, not for they.
Yes, we are trying our best, though. Clearly.
We are trying.
We actually
our best.
Really are, to be fair. Go on,
we're just trying to wrap our head around it, but like, it's more. like, it felt like, so the thing is, right, like, with all the positives that we've given in terms of, like, you know, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and Deadpool, like, they, and I can imagine, like, the studio execs, the producers, everything, like, they had the idea and then they were just kind of like working backwards from there on, which is what Cassandra Nova felt like. She felt like it was walking backwards. But I do think who's the actor's name?
Emma Corrin,
like, I think they did a fantastic job with
menacing, bro,
what they were given
to Chris Evans.
That was fucking menacing, but it turned out so fucking funny after the fact when you see, like, what's happened at the very end. I found that bit, like, I was like,
that
I was taken aback.
Probably my favorite segment of the whole film.
Really?
Because that's all, because I kept thinking of something that I would do.
Like, that is.
Do you know what I'm saying? Man said, he said this, da, 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 and he made.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And now when you watch it back here, because someone was like, yo, watch that scene back here after watching the secret ending, okay? Watch that scene back. and look at Hugh Jackman. Jackman never actually says that he doesn't say it, right? Jackman just goes, don't say it, like, chill out, like, yo,
you get me?
He's like, oh man, you killed him. And he's like, well, I didn't know. Do you know what I mean? It just, it makes everything so much funnier.
I thought it was a great acting performance. I just feel like the character lacked any sort of real purpose. I think they tried to do this thing, which is something we know anyway, of, oh, you know, Charles is the great one. They've been cast aside into the void.
Is that canon, sort by of... the way? This is because that's why I wanted to. I guess it's more a question for us. Like, with, because like her origin is like this.
She was a twin, yeah.
The twin. Is that canon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I think that's what they try to like make evident, is that there's some kind of bitterness towards the way Charles has treated other mutants and other people and the people that he's the mutants that he's looked after throughout his time, in comparison to how she was cast into the void. And I think that's what they tried to do, but I don't think the story didn't do enough justice.
In other Earths, like in comics, in other Earths, she's basically Charles. Like, there's no Charles, it's just her.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
Yeah, so there's like the different versions of her and that kind of stuff. And they didn't even really...
By the way, can I say, outfit was really cool as well. Really dope.
Outfit was dope.
Yeah. Really sick, man. Yeah.
Bro, like...
I was kind of disappointed when they came back out into the subway. And they didn't have the long coat.
The coat was brazy.
Sandra, like, just like in general, in the comics, she's actually extremely dynamic character. And just like having her here, it was cool. Like it was blessed. But like you said, Deadpool and Wolverine is such a novelty to have in this film. Yeah, that like. Any person you could have put up against them would have either been too much, because when you're taking away from the film that we really want to see, or it would have been too small, which can end up what we got because we're concentrating on what we want to see. You know what I mean? So even though we're critiquing it, I do not see a world where a film like this, maybe in the future, but a film like this can be managed in 100% aspect of, oh, the I was saying villain is going to be perfect or whatever. The only reason why the villains worked in 1 and 2 for Deadpool was because it was at the power levels that he was at. It was at the experience that he was at.
Look at the writing for Josh Brolin's character, Cable, in that story compared to this. It differs massively.
Which veered away, by the way, from Cable fighting Deadpool because it wouldn't have been a strong enough...
So
this is the first time that Deadpool has a direct a villain that he's beefing, and the crazy thing is, it wasn't even that direct. He still had a whole other thing with the whole TVA thing going on, saving his world. Do you know what I'm saying? So okay. I think that's the
difference in scales, though, isn't it? Like, as you said, like the power levels. Because in the previous two Deadpool films, it was never about saving the world. It was always about kind of like saving what's in his immediate circle.
Yeah.
But now, like, how do you,
for example?
So, like, how do you manage this fact of like, you know, making him a hero who saves the world? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you create a villain big enough that can match up to that? So it was always a hard task, but
I just think it's a waste of a character in a sense. So I know you can bring back Cassandra in other projects because it's like multiverse or blah blah blah, which we'll see in Secret Wars. But yeah, I just feel like Emma Corrin, great actress or actor, shall I say? And I just feel like it was a waste of a great character.
Yes. Character. Yeah. No, I do
sort of like Thor in it. Guardians and Thor, sorry. Yeah, Christian Bell and the gang Guardians with the face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like they just shoehorned them into this film. I didn't appreciate it, and I think it's a bigger issue that I have.
But what else could you have done?
I mean, there could have been other ways. I just don't like the idea of watching something and then you think it's not great. It's like, oh, what else could have done better?
For example, yeah, I think there's a particular scene of Wolverine and Deadpool fighting in the car. Didn't need that scene. You could have given me like 5 to 10 more minutes of some kind of further exploration of Cassandra Nova instead of that scene, because we've already got a great action scene in the first act of them fighting in the void. I didn't need another.
It was a very unnecessary fight scene.
It was somewhat humorous to an extent.
But they needed them to be knocked out so then
they could get caught.
But again, they could have found a different way.
There are definitely other ways.
I'm with you completely. 100%.
I hear it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on. Do you also think then there's an issue with the other character, the Paradox, played by Matthew McFadden, who we know from Succession, great actor.
Plot makes no sense.
So good. And I think McFadden is a great actor. I thought you could see the sort of theatre chops in his performance.
Yes, 100%.
It was theatrical, it was funny. I think he bounced off Ryan Reynolds very well. Yep. Ryan Reynolds very well, sorry. But
the Ryan stinks, bro.
Again, yeah, that's yeah. If we're gonna keep
Ryan
it buck, if we're gonna
stinks.
Keep it buck,
his
like,
motive
it
made no sense.
Like it genuinely felt like they were just walking backwards. They were like, okay, cool, Deadpool and Wolverine in a room. We'll figure out the rest later. Like, but
it's made no sense.
I think they like. I think that with the biggest strength of this film is just the individual acting performances.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Wow,
and the chemistry they two have together.
The chemistry that these two have, and it's like I'm happy to cameos. Let that go. The cameos as well.
But the writing. But the writing.
The writing. The writing you have to call out for it is. Like I think the plot, the narrative anyway. Like I do think the dialogue worked for the most part.
I
think the dialogue was good. But if we're talking about like the pure narrative, like from getting A to B to C to Z and stuff like that, it was weak. But
when I was watching, it's a bit of a tangent. But when I was watching the film, I remember I was enjoying it. But then we realized, bro, I'm actually done with the MCU while I was watching that film, and I was enjoying that film. It made me realize because. I enjoy Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, but those are really the only aspects of the film that I loved. And then I'm thinking about future MCU films.
Certain cameos that were there.
No, sorry, the cameos as well. The cameos were great as well. But then thinking, and also the level of creativity and freedom that Ryan Reynolds has with Deadpool and Deadpool as a film, like he can get away with a lot of stuff with Deadpool because it is Deadpool.
Mm.
And I'm thinking about other future MCU films. They don't have that level of freedom. They don't have... Not every single MCU film is going to have the level of Hugh Jackman or Ryan Reynolds as an actor. You have to... there has to be a lot more focus in terms of writing and putting a good film together. And for the past, like, 8 years... No, not years. Five years, 6 years. I feel like the MCU has struggled with that quite a lot in writing good films.
Right.
Writing good films. And then when I was watching, we were saying, bro, how many more times can I go through this, going to cinema to watch a film... feeling like this film is not going to be great. It's not going to be written great. And I felt like for most part throughout the last five years of watching MCU films, and as I was watching Deadpool movies, like, bro, I'm done. I can't keep doing it. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to watch another MCU film because, bro, I just know I can't be asked to go watch an MCU film when it's released one day. And the only reason I will do it is because of the pod. But in general, the MCU as an IP is like, bro, like, you lot are giving me too much average films for me to care about this franchise. Like, whatsoever.
Of course, rebuttal.
Fuck you, we don't want you, so it's cool, man.
I mean, I left first, but okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to be here anyway.
But listen, man,
I think it speaks to, let me just land on this one. I think it speaks to like different appreciation of the sort of the fandom as well. Like, I'm not saying that you don't care about comic book films, I know you have always had an interest, but like your interest level in it is vastly different to
my interest level. Is the way that I compare it is like a football team. Sometimes I'm gonna hate you, okay, so but most of the time I'm gonna want you to do well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, and that's the thing with the MCU, because I grew up reading comics because I didn't have the channels to watch the cartoons. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I had
that was so unnecessary.
No, that was like
that's his origin story.
Yeah, like that's his origin story. And I was like, that's
no, it was just cheaper to get a pack of 10 comics from a vintage shop, okay, for like £3, bro. You know what I'm saying? Right. And my mum, that's the way to shut me up. You know what I mean? Okay, like football and comics. So for me, it's always been a soft spot, like kind of like watching them on screen. Do you know what I'm saying? And for years, obviously, until we got like Iron Man 1, like I don't think you guys understand yet. In 2008, when that came out, bro, and stuff. You know, I dragged my dad, my sister, and brother to go watch Captain America: The First Avenger. Because obviously at the end of an Iron Man, it was the first time as a child, obviously, I clocked, they're doing something here. What is this?
Right.
This is like a wider franchise. What the hell?
So it was those films that got you rather than, let's say, and we'll get to Spider-Man cameos later, but you had Blade in 1998.
All those films.
Relax.
Like, listen,
Blade,
you
had, my days.
You had the first X-Men film in
2000. Don't forget, I said this like... it was like previously I grew up mainly on DC comics. You know what I'm saying?
So
that's what was my bag, right? And then on the Marvel side of things, I grew up on, like, it was mainly the Spider-Man era, right? So it was all the variants of Spider-Man's and that kind of stuff, okay? Venom, and, like, those storylines I was super into. And then obviously from that, you because obviously he's part of the main Avenger group, you get introduced into everybody else, right? But, like, that's why for me, those films, Spider-Man 1, 2, 3, and then you got X-Men, cool, and then you got Blade, and then you got... But then those films were fantastic. They were so good. And they were casted really, really well. Mm-hmm. And you almost felt like a touch of them. At the time, I didn't know that a franchise could last 15 years. That's not something that was in my mind at all. The only films that had that was, like, Harry Potter, or, do you know what I'm saying? Okay, so... I used to see them as, like, scapes of, like, oh, this is a cool version of the story.
Okay.
Dope.
Yeah.
But I never saw it as, this is a wider picture into what I can be watching for the next 10 years, right? And then and then don't forget, the MCU went through stinkers, bro. Daredevil, fucking...
That wasn't MCU, though.
Sorry. Superhero films, okay, went through a horrible, horrible... time with Daredevil, Catwoman, the Hulk, fucking, there were so many, bro. Like, so,
Elektra,
awful film. Okay,
Elektra was
like,
awful.
Bro, like, all these, like, they went through stinker off, even Punisher, they went through stinkers, bro. Stinkers. So the excitement dwindled again. Do you know what I'm saying? And then you got, obviously,
Dark Knight. Oh, sorry, Batman Begins.
In 2005, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get that, and you go, I can watch something now with a deeper storyline that isn't just about some people that, you know, that fly around. Great.
I don't think Batman Begins was received that well.
It was received fairly well.
Yeah, but it wasn't until, like, the Dark Knight came about. That's when people started looking at superhero films, being like, oh,
calm. I don't care. It was fucking amazing.
I think that Batman Begins, you look back on it more with appreciation after.
Because you
I'm just talking about at the time.
So for me, like, I get what Manny's saying and that kind of stuff, but I think I confirm a shit film now with the MCU.
But you just now, you didn't get a shit film.
That's what I'm saying. So right now, I'm appreciating it deeply, and because I know the potential and the innovation of the MCU, not only because I read the fun comics, no, but because we've seen it. We've seen it with three phases of a wide story that became something that we all is a lifetime, like, experience. Like, our kids will never experience what we did 10 years. It's crazy.
I don't even think the appreciation will be the same.
Of course not. It's nuts, Brody. So, like, the fact that I now have that as, like, proof, like, it's almost like Man United with Ferguson. Like, I know it can happen. You know what I'm saying? Right?
And then
Fergie leaves, right? And it's like, you have the peas, you have the stadium, okay, but you just need the right players, the right coach, and in time you'll come back and do that again. That's what I believe. So I get it, like, I absolutely get it, but I have a belief with Kevin Feige at the helm, okay, with him making choices like the Russo brothers, you know what I'm saying, and
they'll have a lot of control.
Let's not forget as well. Yeah, Feige in phase one, it was Feige season. He wrote everything, right? He basically dictated everything. In phase
two,
he
wrote films on the fly.
Yeah,
for the first Iron Man film.
Yeah,
literally during in between scenes, writing the script.
And then phase two, he gave it to the directors. He was like, all right, cool, let's work together. Right, and see what we can do. That's why everything was a bit more differently themed. You know what I'm saying? So, like if Feige just gets back in his bag, he doesn't have a pandemic to deal with. I generally think, okay, that the MCU in the next 3 to 4 years will be the biggest franchise again. Critiques, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Right. Critics and fans, I'm with you. Quick one before we get to the cameos, we got to finish this episode. Sean Levy's directional style / an analysis of the action scenes. Now, part of me really enjoyed some of the action scenes, some of the R-rated nature of it, the blood, the gore, the violence, but there were a couple of scenes for me where I was very much questioning Sean Levy's directional style from an action perspective. How did you guys feel about the action?
The Deadpool fight scene was shit.
Which one? Oh, okay. So that was your worst one.
Like, it was funny. but the fighting in it was actually.
Yeah, okay. Do you know what? Fair enough. Like, I do think that, like as you said, like the directional choices he went with, like, because one thing for me, like I love action films, especially martial arts, like kung fu films,
so,
right?
So good.
And one of the most beautiful things about, especially when you watch like your old Jackie Chan films or Jet Li's or whatever, is how they're able to telegraph action choreography properly.
This is your bag, go off.
And the way, like, so, because obviously we're talking about, like, just to use the example of like a Jackie Chan, right? He's like a super kung fu master, but the way they frame their shots, the way they angle it and everything, like when he's fighting somebody, you can clearly see every single action that he's doing, right?
With a purpose.
And that's always been my biggest thing for me, like when I do see action films, especially if it's like hand-to-hand combat or if you're using swords or whatever, like you need to telegraph that well, which I think was lacking at parts. And like you brought with the Deadpool fighting scene at the end, I think that's where it was highlighted the most, because there were so many things on screen you never knew exactly what Deadpool was doing, because he's being mixed up with all the other Deadpools. The only one who I was able to kind of see clearly was Wolverine, because he was like bright yellow, but even then, like, it felt messy and it was just like, okay, cool, we'll focus on the gore aspect rather than, like, you know, how he's gonna slice this guy up and whatnot. And it's like, it wasn't the worst thing and whatnot, but
it's
like
a weakness for sure.
It's a weakness for sure. Yeah. And that's the one thing that I really, really felt like it was lacking, because with Deadpool especially, right? And this is gonna be a really weird tangent. In Wolverine Origins, the very first one, the 2009,
I remember.
You know when Deadpool was in there for the first time, and you know when they're all in the elevator, and then Deadpool comes out and he just slices all these bullets in half, right? That is one of my favorite parts of that film, and I was
even though it doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't really make sense, but it looked fucking amazing. Yeah. It looked fucking amazing, and I was hoping something of that quality was going to be in that film. Never got that.
Right.
So I felt like it was lacking, but it wasn't awful.
I think one of my other scenes that speaks into like the next segment, if you like, was the scene of the cameos fighting.
Ooh, yes.
Like, the cameos were great. We'll speak about those in a second. But that scene when they started fighting just felt like so messy and crowded.
Yes, yes.
There was too much going on, where if I'm watching an action scene, I want to be able to see, zone in on Wolverine fighting so-and-so, then zone in on Deadpool fighting so-and-so with somebody else. But instead, it was like a huge wide shot of them all fighting in tandem, and it just felt very messy.
It's what we've done.
You weren't sure where to pay attention to.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're just like...
It's what we've done so well with Age of Ultron.
Bro. Age of Ultron and even Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Bro.
Even Endgame though.
Endgame as well.
Oh, of course. But like, the reason why I say Age of Ultron is because of the amount of people, the same amount of people.
Loved
Endgame.
Yes.
Okay, do you know what I'm saying? But like, that opening scene where they're like trying to get in, you know, was so crazy, cold, opening scene, right? And they're all fighting the same kind of person, right? So and you're seeing just like handle it in different ways. And then obviously in Age of Ultron, when they're in Sokovia at the end, and they're all beefing the same. You get, like I said, they're in the same like space, but you're never feeling like it's convoluted. You know what I mean?
Right.
I also want to feel like I don't need to know periodically or whatever it's called when people are fighting. So the problem with doing like fight scenes all at the same time, if I have concentrated on Gaz, I'm only gonna see guys, right? You can't pull, but if a different audience member has concentrated on three Manny, right? You can't pull that same fight seat back. Whereas if you concentrate on two man or one man, right? Whatever you do in the background, you can pull that back up again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As like a whole nother scene, because like, I don't need to see that. Do you know what I mean? I don't mind the manipulation. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm good with that.
I think the issue with the way that they shot the fight scenes, it doesn't feel personalized. It doesn't feel personal, like for each character.
Yeah, yeah.
For us to showcase.
Do you think that's because of the lack of because this is what I thought. It was the lack of the pedigree of the actual characters they were given. So like, Elektra hasn't got mad skills, you man. She's got two forks, bruv. Okay, she's not wavy like that.
Okay, but
you can do so many wavy things with just two, even with two forks. You can make it look more like it's a person that's been using the skill for X amount of years.
Yeah, which is what Elektra is. Elektra is like a trained assassin. And
facts.
I would have hoped that
in the void.
And I think all of them.
Bro, she wasn't fighting anyone mad.
Gambit was the best.
Yeah, Gambit.
And
the main reason why I think Dan Gambit was the best, because I saw Gambit. Capability, so many like he showed so many moves. He threw the cards.
Yeah,
he had the stick.
Thing, yeah, yeah.
So he showcased like
the action.
Yeah,
my guy.
Channing Tatum.
No. Flipping Blade.
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. No, do you know what? I knew his name was Blade. Ignore me. Sorry, mind went black for a second. But yeah, him, wavy with a sword. We didn't really see any wavy movements with
there was
the
like one thing he done, okay, where I was like, calm. But then I was like, bro, you are a literal vampire. Like, run it up.
Yeah, like, you know especially, that especially if you've seen him in the Blade films.
He's
before.
Cold.
Like, yeah. He's so fucking cold. So like, it's just, yeah.
The issue with the fight scenes, they weren't personal. They were just fight scenes. They weren't fight scenes for these particular characters showcasing what you can
do. I'd say the only time we got a personalized fight
was Gambit.
Was one, Gambit, and two, back in the first act of the film, when Wolverine takes on Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, sorry.
Yeah.
And it's even like he starts acting like a Wolverine, like he's
crouched. Yeah, yeah, crouched.
Yo, forget the crouch. Yeah. When he done the run, I screamed. Bro, I was in the cinema.
Isn't that what you're on about?
Yeah, yeah.
When he was crouching, yeah, yeah.
But he'd done like the Wolverine run. Whatever, yeah. That's like a cartoon run. Right?
Have you ever seen him do it in?
Nah. He does it
I don't
once.
Think so.
He does it once in when he fights Sabretooth in X-Men 1, but he doesn't do 1, 2, 3. He leaps. Like, he does the same movement, but he leaps, having to hit each other in the sky, right? But in this one, yeah, he does the run, the actual
that
one we see on X-Men 97. You know what I'm saying? I literally was like, I swear to God, bro, I swear on my mother's life. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
I believe you, which is scary.
Bro,
yeah.
I've seen that so many times. Even in comic books, by the way, okay, they have a whole page of him just leaping. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking amazing, bro. Yeah. Like you're absolutely, and that whole fight scene, by the way, the one with Deadpool, outstanding. But before I move on, okay, I just want to say about Gambit, right?
Yeah.
I just want to say I saw an interview with Reynolds, and he was talking about there's a few actors in this, right, who have gone through what I've gone through. You know, like when I wanted to do
Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool. Years ago. You know, I wanted to do it years ago, and when I got to do it, it wasn't the version that I wanted to do. And now I'm here, and I've been able to show Deadpool how I wanted to show it. And obviously, he was talking about Channing Tatum, where like he was given a Gambit film what 8 years ago now. Do you know what I mean? And it just never happened. Okay, like, bro, he was part of the whole Comic-Con selfie. Oh my God, yeah, Gambit, yeah. Da, 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 da. He was part of the whole lineup and that, and obviously it all changed. Cool, but I'm so happy because Channing Tatum has been vying for Gambit for like 9 years, bro. It's been a long time where he's been like, let me do it, and for him to get to do it, yeah. I was upset that they made a bit of a joke of him, but then
with
that
the accent,
yeah. But then,
I thought that worked. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
It worked, right? But I wanted him to be so good that they can give him a film. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think he was good enough?
No, but then what I'm saying, when it goes onto the fight scenes, blah, 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 and then all the interaction, I was like, calm, yeah, give him a film.
I mean, it's kind of like, it goes back to what Gaz was saying in terms of like the meta humor about all, like, he even Gambit says like, yo, I only got a few minutes of screen time to make it work. Like, I need to impress. And I feel
so
like,
funny,
I feel like out of that scene, like, while it was messy, he was the only one amongst like
even they didn't even do X-23 properly. I'm sorry,
they didn't do X-23 properly. They rushed her. I would have thought like I feel like, again, which kind of like goes back into the fucking writing of it all, where it's like she clearly was only written there to be like, okay, cool, this is going to be the emotional linchpin for Wolverine to clock on and stuff like that. And it's like again, like to bring it back into kind of like a positives, it goes back to the acting caliber of everyone involved. Like, she wasn't given much to work with, but she made it fucking work. Yeah, yeah.
I agree. Let's fly through the cameos anyway. Kind of. Happy Hogan.
Shout out to Happy. I think he's one of the easiest people to use as a fucking
character.
Any MCU film.
He makes it work all the time.
John Favreau is a legend.
It's also because it does help that he's written at least 6 of their top 12 films.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. So
like, oh, he writes as well.
Yeah.
He's on crap. But even, do you know
his fingerprints in everything.
Mandalorian.
Yeah, yeah.
First two seasons.
Do you know Infinity War as well? He wrote like a lot of that.
Fair enough.
He's prolific, like a lot of that. Like, he's a comic book nerd, bro.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Him and Feige, they're like buddies, fam.
They're literally writing, as we said, the first Iron Man film, like in between scenes.
It's nuts. And Favreau actually got hired as the casting director first of that film, and then the writer, and then the director, which is nuts.
X-Force and Friends, so Rob Delaney, we had Colossus back, we had Yukio, We had Blind Owl. Blind Owl, I love
that. Yeah, Blind Owl.
So that was fucking funny.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I mean, there's not much to critique. There weren't really, and it's not necessarily a critique.
Pyro?
They will get there.
Oh,
sorry, X-Force. Yeah, I feel like there's not much to critique. Didn't really, apart from Blind Owl, didn't really do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. I don't think they needed to do much in this film.
It was nice to see Blind Owl.
Yeah, and it was important for us to see them in that room.
Great, man.
With Deadpool, because obviously that
was the essence of
the
story. But I'm glad that we actually stepped away from them. Because that's the only way the MCU thing would have worked.
Yeah.
It would not have worked if it was another grounded Deadpool story. It wouldn't have
worked. Yeah, they couldn't have kept it local.
Wouldn't have worked.
Okay, four very briefly, not much to say, but it's always very funny to see Deadpool sort of showing his love towards...
every time Deadpool went unconscious, every time he'd wake up by saying Thor.
Yeah.
It was four times. Yeah. You know how funny it is?
Four times.
And it was four different times. So like he the first time, okay, he literally went Thor and touching me. And then like the second time was something else. I was like, this is just incredible. Like it's freaking hilarious.
Quick, we get a brief glimpse of Hulk. Love him, man. Not much to really say there, but seeing Hulk was always enjoyable. We're gonna see more of him in the future.
When do we see Hulk? Oh, when he was beefing thingy. But by the way, even that was one of my favorite things. When he was going back through the whole Wolverine thing, and then he's not just like doing it; he's explaining what comic book he's in, which I think is really, really funny. Like the Hulk one, he literally says, "Isn't this the version that he fights Hulk?" You know what I mean? And then turns around, yeah, and like, cool Hulk. It's freaking sick. Also shout out to Kevin Feige for this one. We finally got to see Wolverine in the white suit. Obviously, that was teased years ago. I think it was X-Men 1 or X-Men 2 or maybe First Class. I don't know. One in films, okay, where like there's a casino scene and then we see a person in a white suit playing poker. For years, people were like, that's Deadpool as one eye Deadpool. That's him. Okay, you know what I mean? Sorry. That's
Wolverine.
That's that's Wolverine. And for them to play on that like fan theory, freaking sick. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was cold.
Henry Cavill.
Yes.
It suited him though.
Suited him. That's the thing. Like,
it took me a minute to deep. It was him.
It was the Mission Impossible thing that he did.
Somebody made kind of like a comparison that's such a fucking like I didn't clock it on first time round, and I was like, oh
that
shit.
That what?
Like, you know, what was it?
Mission Impossible 3.
Oh, the whole.
He ended up like hurting one of his biceps, I believe. So to sort of warm up for Mission Impossible 3 for the action scenes, he would sort of like doing
yeah,
sort of this.
Yeah, he done the pump in it.
Yeah. And he did that in the film.
The lip pump. I said,
and he's tank. Man.
He's one, bro. I fuck it with her. Like I thought, like he was, and I think they made a DC joke about it, right? He was like, how was it? How they treated you on the other side of the river? Stuff like that, which is great. You know what I mean?
Let's fly through. Johnny Storm. Chris Evans is back.
Everyone thought he was going to say
Avengers. I love that scene. When he came down, we saw the arm with the red and blue. I was like, oh, Captain America. Like,
I was very confused. I was like
allow it. He's going to say it's a flame. I was like, oh, of course you're Johnny. Yeah. You know, I love that scene.
Everyone's like, what?
Yeah, he was like, what was this?
The switcheroo is one of my favorite
scenes. That was a good one.
And do you know, the whole part of him being in that film was made more funny and more enjoyable that we know that Chris Evans had a great time. Like, you can tell he was on set, this is lit.
Yeah, exactly.
The post-credit scene, that might have been one of his favorite scenes. Yeah, I think we're asking, that's probably one of his favorite scenes ever.
That post-credit scene was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
No, I enjoyed this cameo a lot.
It was the best cameo. For me, it was the best cameo.
100%.
By far.
And even when his god said, we didn't have enough budget.
When fucking Boris was like, no, what are you doing? He's like, trust me. The whole thing of like Reynolds, he didn't hold back on just the real life aspects of things. Sorry. Now that I'm talking about it, breaking of the fourth wall when we got the Pretty Deadpool where he was like he was like the proposal.
Yeah.
Pretty Deadpool was funny.
Yeah, why did he say that?
Because he was proving that he can also break the 4-4.
I know, but why did he say the proposal?
Because Ryan Reynolds is in the thing, yeah.
What's that?
It's a film.
Okay, see. So when he said it, I didn't clock why it was funny. When it happened, yeah.
It's fucking hilarious, bro.
Yeah.
It's like a big film.
Okay.
Made him like a Hollywood heartthrob.
Got you.
Quick one on Pyro. We had Pyro and Sabretooth, which is homage to sort of the first.
Loved X-Men it.
They look old, you know.
Yeah, Pyro looks old.
But Sabretooth. Oh, his teeth were so fake, by the way. Yo, Marvel, come on, man. Fix up.
Hello.
Like, they were so like white. I was like, oh, what the hell is this, bro? He's been...
All the budget went to Chris Evans.
Yeah, 100%.
And then the team up of Elektra, Blade, Gambit, and X-23.
I can't lie, when Wesley Snipes...
I was gassed.
I didn't care for Elektra.
Yeah, I can't lie.
But I think it's, in a sense, I think the important part of Elektra, so her particular... character in terms of Jennifer Garner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She never really got to have a good film. It's the same thing that Wesley Snipes never really got to finish the Blade mm-hmm. sort of story in a great
did
way.
You see about
the same thing Channing Tatum didn't get.
Yeah, Channing Tatum didn't get.
Did you see the joke about Blade Girls?
Oh,
this is only one
Blade. I'm the only Blade.
Yeah, I love that.
And then Deadpool.
I love that Reynolds. Okay, didn't say anything. He just went.
Oh, you looked into the camera.
Yeah. Do you know what's so good? Like, you can see, like, because obviously he's got his mask on, right? But you can see his eyes widen just a tiny bit. That's so good. That's so cheeky.
Yeah.
Like, the fourth wall breaks were fucking amazing for me. Yeah. They were so good.
Snipes was cold. I thought bringing him back here, if that ever happened, I thought he'd just be a crack. Because at the moment, like, he's doing his films, but he's just a cranky old man. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, bro, like, they use the same tech, but they for Samuel L. Jackson to make him look a bit younger, but he was so good in like the dialogue in the hut.
Yes.
So good. X-23 cold. Just to be fair, I think she was more cold through aura, like the fact that we know her from Logan and it's obviously confirmed that it's the same variant. So it's not so it's the same person, which is sick. It's a weird one. Like, it was a weird mixture. They all brought something different, and I see why they picked those characters. Like you said, to get like a second chance at
to say goodbye, if you like. Yeah. We're gonna close the pod. Kind of. I've got a task for you before we do finish. But let's just discuss the impact of those 20th Century Fox films, from the Fantastic Fours to the X-Men films, particularly I guess the Fox X-Men films, but also that spans out to some of the other cameos we've got in the film as well, the impact of those in terms of the superhero genre, what those films mean to you. You kind of spoken it earlier, but yeah, Hoss, maybe you can touch on why those, some of those films which are great. I mean, X-Men was great. X-Men United was one of the best X-Men films we got. Last Stand, not so good. Origins, not so good at all. But then you get First Class, you get Days of Future Past, you get Logan, you get Deadpool 1 and 2. Talk to me about sort of the up and down experience of those films.
I think Deadpool 3 now, the one that we just watched, is kind of rounded up in the credits where he was doing the montage of all of the films, that kind of stuff. People thought that was like a really cute thing. It's confirmed that he was doing it as a funny, like, somebody has died type thing. Do you know what I'm saying? For the Fox films. But I love
it. I still find it a bit emotional, man.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Because I watched that and I was like, wow, like, we actually did get like a bunch of characters that we thought that we might not have seen on camera. X-Men, you can arguably say, yeah, but X-Men is the first ever superhero franchise, okay, that allowed us to see more than one or two superheroes at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so to
without being too grand either.
Exactly.
Because the biggest film they made was Days of Future Past. Other than that, like, it's very small in scale for
And it was sick. It was like samey. They couldn't deep it from X-Men 1 to 3. They only introduced one extra student or two students every film.
So like Pride.
Yeah, and they always took someone away as well. Like, it was never like a thing where it was like, oh, let's. So yeah, they always like handled it well. So in regards to like the Fox era, Fox helped Marvel no matter how they want to see
facts,
it.
Or, facts,
yeah,
facts,
yeah, no matter how
okay, okay, Fox not, like,
they,
okay.
They laid the groundwork for people to watch superhero.
Of course, and by the way, okay, it's 50% down to just Marvel and Stan Lee, who people praise bears, okay, but Stan Lee's not business minded at all, okay. Like he made the stuff.
Well, he nearly went broke.
Bro, he went broke and then sold characters. You know what I'm saying? So but for him, like he never saw, well, as far as I'm aware, he never saw the potential of what it could be, and it needed people like Bob.
No, I think he did. The problem is that, like, Stanley didn't know how to do it, but Stanley was so focused on the comic aspect of it all and the idea of, like, I want the comics to expand for the people.
Yeah.
Like, he was never really, like, because the reason why they're as big as, like, you know, like, the capitalistic idea of it all, like, was obviously it needed the execs, but like Stanley was very much creator focused. He was very much like the idea of what it means to be a superhero for the people. Like, he was a man for the people. That's why he was never, that's why he went broke in the first place, because he trusted the wrong people who kind of like just ran them down, and then he had to sell because obviously he had to have a livelihood in that aspect.
Well, then you can arguably say that, I guess, the Fox then just had the better facilities to facilitate what the risk was, right?
Of course.
And like I said, they had some wins, they had some L's, right? But overall, okay, like we all got like a good experience. And what I wanted to say to end this part of, okay, is would we have had a DC universe, right, if it wasn't for these initial risks that Fox and Sony took.
And Sony, you know, that's such a good point.
The fact that these two companies that aren't DC, that aren't Marvel, okay, but took these risks, yeah, okay, because they're cinematically driven, right, would we have got the stuff that we have enjoyed for all these years? I don't think so.
I'm not for sure. To round up the pod, sort of fun questions for you guys each. Firstly, Manny, favourite cameo?
Ever or from this film?
From this film, sorry.
Chris Evans as Johnny.
Johnny. Hoss?
It is going to have to be Chris Evans, but wait, hold on. Okay. My final answer is... Chris Evans.
Jace?
Blade.
I'm stuck between the action scenes for Gambit.
Yeah.
Gambit was great. Gambit was good.
Even his interaction with Wolverine when they first see each other, he's my second favourite.
Yeah, and then I'm stuck between Henry Cavill just because of the pure aesthetic of it all. He didn't have anything to say.
Not much, but
it was really cool. Favourite acting performance from the film? I think it's an easy one, to be fair.
Hugh Jack.
Yeah.
Reynolds is not that far behind, though.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to be like, can it be a draw? But I think if we're going like, who's, if I'm good to give someone an award, I think we'll go to Hugh.
And I think the biggest separator between them two is that scene that Hugh Jackman has with Emma.
Yeah. Where she's doing this and that, and then he's being him.
I think because we didn't get that much emotional pull throughout the film for the most part, which is fine. But I think that scene kind of changes what that puts Hugh Jackman ahead of Ryan Reynolds. Sorry, but yeah, go on, Jason.
Yeah, no, I think it's unanimous Hugh as well for me.
Yeah. What was your favourite joke or humorous moment from the film?
Wait, who's yours?
Okay.
I assumed.
I think I'll go back to what I said earlier. The Chris Evans switcheroonie.
Yeah. Nah, the Chris Evans.
The end credit scene.
The end credit scene. Yeah. That is probably my favorite.
I count that as one joke. As in when he gets him killed.
And then the callback to him actually saying it was funny, man. It was just.
It's the best thing I've seen. Because like I said, I can see myself doing the exact same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's absolutely been my favorite joke. Like the initial thing and so the callback of it. Great setup.
What's
yours, bro?
Oh, sorry. It's the same one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Chris Evans thing at the beginning.
To pick a different joke, just for God's sake, okay? You know what I mean? Like, one of my favorites here was Dogpool, guys. We didn't even mention Dogpool. Dogpool was freaking hilarious.
I hate the way the dog looked. I can't lie to you.
No, but that's
made me so uncomfortable.
It's Butters. Yeah.
I want to kick that dog.
No, but I just thought it was funny when he was like just licking his face and then he's just chilling. And he's just chilling.
Then he starts licking the
Anytime
back.
Anytime Big Al was licking as well, to be fair.
Big Al was great.
Big Al was jokes.
Ryan Reynolds kind of like insistence on having cocaine, but Disney won't let him.
I thought
that was a good joke.
Do you know what was really funny? Is at the beginning with Happy, and it was like, oh yeah, we. We spent a lot of money.
He's like, we.
He speaks French now.
Yeah.
The Avengers, yeah, that was brilliant as well. It's a really good callback from you, actually. What was the worst part of the film for you guys?
The writing. The plot
writing. Yeah.
For me, it was more that. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I just say the writing. More so, I have more of an issue with the writing for Cassandra Nova than the film itself. Because I think if you can just give us a villain or an antagonist with ever so slightly more purpose, just a tiny bit, it takes the film to another level.
Mm.
And that naturally then makes the story ever make more sense coherently as well.
Yeah.
I think the two marry. Is that everyone agree, just the writing as a whole?
Yeah, writing. Yeah. I think like just...
Writing slash Cassandra Nova, but not Emma Corrin.
The acting was really good.
And I think the acting was so good, they highlight the writing.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see them as that character.
Again, for sure. Yeah. I agree. Listen, we're all on the same wavelength today. Mm-hmm. Favorite scene or action scene from the film?
It's the sword throw, I can't lie to you.
At the beginning, the bounce, which kind of like goes back to what you were saying in terms of like characters having kind of like a fighting style that befits their character.
Right.
Deadpool
I think
had
it was
that.
Money,
for...
it was money.
Sorry, my bad.
It's fine. We sort of get us confused all the time, so it's okay.
Crazy.
Oh, my days. But like the bounce, like, that's so fucking sick, man. Like, yeah, that's a good shout. Like, I think the opening sequence, the fight, NSYNC. Yeah.
Favorite fight scene, Deadpool and
Wolverine.
Just because we just got like a bunch of like comic book references of how they fight naturally and that kind of stuff, and it was still funny and it was still actually kind of serious.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, so it was dope.
Yeah. I agree. That was my favorite as well. Guys, let's give quick ratings out of 10. I'll go first.
Yeah,
go. Fuck it, why not? I'll give it, as it stands, I think it's a 7. It could dial back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a 7. It could dial back to a 6 on second watch. I don't want it to, because I actually want to like this film.
Really?
Yeah, so wow. I'm going to stick on 7 for now.
Okay, I'm going to give it a good 7.5.
Oh, me.
You can go last. I'm on a 7. I think it was really, really funny. I think that's what makes it that good for me.
I'm on an 8.1.
That's fair.
It was a good film.
Good film. Yeah, good film for sure. That's a wrap for today, man. Really good episode. Quite flowy, quite quick, quite easy. Very well done to the host today.
Jeez.
So Jason, Hussam, Manny, shout out to Basola as well. See her later on today.
And then shout out to yourself as well.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Come on.
Thank you. You will hear this episode, I assume, first, and then the live show after. Is that correct? Or we'll figure it out.
That'll be next week. We'll leave that to the big wigs.
I'm in Tokyo.
But yeah, we are the Post Credit Scene Pod.
He'll tell you in a bit.
Yeah, we are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14HQ original, lovers of film and TV and theatre. Make sure to follow us on all socials. I was about to say socials. We're on TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast. We're also on Instagram, Post Credit Scene Podcast.
We're also on Letterboxd.
Oh, yes, Jason.
We're also on Letterboxd.
Letterboxd, boy.
Hey, niggas, write your reviews, niggas.
You need to stick it on to us in the chat.
Do you know what? It's because I don't do it myself. But that's neither here nor there.
It's not shaming us. Ben will stop.
For sure. When Letterboxd, we're on all DSPs, so Apple Podcast, Spotify, etc. Feel free to follow us, like, share, subscribe. Post Credit Scene Podcast, over and out. You know the vibes.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene.